brings new meaning to these words, the spy who loved me. There were some spies doing a lot of loving in the U.S. and trying to get some information from other Russia. In the meantime, what about financial reform? Yay or nay? Because the Democrats are trying to pull a fast one behind the scenes. I'll explain what I mean. It's a disaster in Texas, although it hasn't hit yet. The governor of Texas has 2,500 National Guard ready. In 19 different counties, they are saying it is a state of emergency because Alex is now a hurricane. It could be a Category 1 or perhaps even a 2, slamming into places like Brownsville and also a resort area called Padre Island. So the people are battening the hatches and getting ready for the possibilities. What does this mean for the oil spill? It means that a lot of the skimmers had to leave the areas by Louisiana and also in Pensacola because you have 12-foot waves. Some scientists believe that, okay, there could be more damage caused by the hurricane, but at the same time, it may dissipate some of the oil. It could push it further around towards some of the other beaches in Florida. So the people there in the Sunshine State certainly are not happy about that. It was a layup for this guy. He wears the bars and the stars and everything else in between. He went from Petraeus to Savus. That would be General Petraeus as he takes over in Afghanistan. There's just one more I that has to be dotted and then one signature, but pretty much it's a done deal. So what does the general have to say about Afghanistan and the mission?
It is going to be a number of years before Afghan forces can truly handle the security tasks in Afghanistan on their own. The commitment to Afghanistan is necessarily, therefore, an enduring one. And neither the Taliban nor Afghan and Pakistani partners should doubt that.
Okay, how much is it going to cost in the end? I don't know what that bill will be. It's going to be a big one. But I'm saying 15 years. I'm writing it in big, big, bold, a big, bold number in my notebook. Right now, today, I'm telling you, based on what Petraeus has said and the way this war is unfolding and the how slow it is in the training process, and also in completely getting rid of as many Taliban leaders as possible. I'm saying 15 years. Okay, so you do the math. We already got nine and a half, basically. At least 5 more years, at least. And the administration is avoiding the end date. And what's the end game? It's the same old politics as usual when it comes to Afghanistan. Coming up, we're going to talk about a couple of fair or fouls that might get you a little hot. One, the school in Massachusetts that won't recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I just don't get the flap over the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't understand. And we move from the Pledge of Allegiance to corporal punishment. How do you feel about corporal punishment in school? It sounds terrible, doesn't it, when you say corporal punishment? You think, what, some kid's getting a corkscrew? There's a little paddle, a little pat on the fanny. What does it mean? What is corporal punishment, the definition of it, truly mean? And if you went to private school or Catholic school, you know that in many cases you were certainly allowed, the people who were the teachers or the clergy people or whatever, could invoke corporal punishment. In the public schools, I would think a lot of that was wiped out, but maybe it's based on the part of the country, the place in the country where you live. So one congresswoman is on a mission to just end the whole debate anyway, just forget about the whole corporal punishment deal, because she feels it's ridiculous and that has nothing to do pretty much with learning. But here's the thing, education anymore. I think it's about, in some cases, doping up these kids. Because what happens, especially with boys, I've seen this from the people around me. If you have a boy who's a little hyperactive, you know, he's wiggling around and can't really focus, well, automatically it's get him on the drugs, get him on the drugs. And then I hear from teachers that there's such a difference when, and I'm not saying some kids you have to have that maybe, but then there's such a difference in their personalities when they're on ADD drugs or they're off those drugs. How much does it dull their senses? I got to say, there's a lot of things that have to do with education that are frightening, that never were issues before. There were always bad kids in school. There were always kids that got detention. There were always, you know, the suck-ups or the kids who even did well in school. You can label all kinds of kids across the board from kindergarten on up. But weren't things always seemed to be handled? And now you have the craziest things happening in schools across America where the teachers don't even have enough supplies. They don't have enough money coming into the district. So then you can't have gyms. So the kids aren't out doing some jumping jacks or playing a kickball like they should be doing or having a gym class, a gym setting, or art. They don't have art. Can't got to cut out art because we can't afford art. And the teachers, in some cases where they're not making very much money, they've got to foot the bill if they want to be able to have the kids in their classroom do those sort of things. I just don't get it. I don't get why we don't value the education a little bit more. And I'm not saying in every district, because I know there's a lot of incredible things that are done in districts across the United States. But if I drew a circle and we started to pinpoint some of the problem areas, we would come up with it, I think, pretty quickly. And the corporal punishment issue is one of those that is a throwback. And apparently some schools do that and other schools don't do that. I would think they'd be afraid that there would be some kind of a lawsuit. Everything's about a lawsuit. So even a little tiny swat, a little paddle, I would think there would be some concern about that. And maybe the parents have to sign off on it. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. We're going to talk about it all in this hour of America Tonight, plus a We Can Count segment. Don't forget, as we get closer to the holiday, we're going to talk about the Tour de France. That starts on Saturday. The editor-in-chief of Bicycling Magazine is going to be on our next show, and we'll talk about Lance Armstrong and why he's leaving the sport, and will he possibly win or even make it up to the podium this time around at 38 years old? Who are the biggest challengers to that? And what about the whole blood doping deal? How far back did this go? What did they do in the 60s and 70s? They had the same amount of miles they had to ride. They didn't have the equipment, wasn't as high tech, and some of the things, the aerodynamic suits they wear and stuff, they didn't have all of that in the 60s and 70s. So certainly they had to be taking some kind of performance enhancers, wouldn't you think? We'll dive into that, and that's coming up on America Tonight in our next show. On the flip side, a couple of fair or fouls. Stay with us.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN, and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986, yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Do you remember them being pulled out in the hallway and getting paddled on the rear end or having yardstick across their back or something on their knuckles? Anybody listening to me go through school that way? I hear crickets. I'm thinking maybe not. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. This is Kate Delaney, by the way. The show America Tonight, coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between. A lot of people on vacation this week, and if you are starting a vacation at the end of the week, bravo! Kick back, chill, and enjoy one of the great freedoms of living in the United States, because we have such a beautiful country and there's so many places to see and things to do and all that, that you don't necessarily have to spend a fortune to go and relax with the family. So here's my take on the whole corporal punishment thing. Back in the day, apparently, it worked, and there was the fear factor of the teacher and the student. Now, with the legalities of everything, I don't see how corporal punishment would work anyway. That's a different issue from paddling at home, and, you know, people make the jokes about that child protection services is going to come in if they see me or somebody hears something, etc., if they swat their kid. And everybody has a different theory on this. I was at a friend's house the other, maybe a couple of weeks ago, and they have a cutest little boy. He's like 6 years old. And of course, he can get away with murder. He was a late child, and he is the apple of everyone's eye. And they had a thing called the naughty chair. So the kid knew that he could do whatever he wanted to do, and then he would just go to this naughty chair. And the naughty chair was pretty much the useless chair is what it was. But that's different than punishment at school. You know, the detention thing that you have to stay after school and clap all the erasers or clean the floors or something. That's still different than corporal punishment. So this one congresswoman says that there's still corporal punishment going on. and she's going to do whatever she can to introduce a bill to get rid of it. Here were her thoughts. This is Congresswoman McCarthy on the whole idea of corporal punishment.
The most recent Office of Civil Rights Department of Education data is from 2006 and 2007 school year, which indicates that over 223,000 students were paddled in our nation. The purpose of ending corporal punishment in schools act is to eliminate the use of corporal punishment in schools and promote a positive school culture and climate.
All right, so there is an act that she mentioned that backs that up in case it gets challenged in court, but that is a stunning number, I think, 223,000. What do you think, fair or foul, when it comes to the use of CP in the classrooms? And here's an even better fair or foul, that it's a layup, and you hear these stories constantly, sadly, but how about this school, Arlington High School? In Arlington High School, what they're saying is that there's no American flags in the classroom, no one recites the Pledge of Allegiance. So one of the kids who starts as a freshman, when he came in his freshman year, decided he was going to ask other students to get flags in the classrooms and do something about it because he thought it was wrong. He thought it was odd and got enough people to complain and petition and everything else. And this is in Massachusetts, by the way. So they now have the flags in the classroom, but they can't do the pledge. Why can't you voluntarily recite the Pledge of Allegiance? What they're saying in this school and in this education system is they're worried it'd be hard to find teachers willing to recite it. They had a petition signed by 700 people. They had letters from people like Joe Lieberman, Senator Lieberman, backing this up. The request to have the pledge recited failed. The committee did a vote on it. It ended in a 3-3 tie. So this kid fought for 3 years to have this happen, got the flags, didn't get the pledge. What a disgrace. What a disgrace that is. I really don't ever get the flap about the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's that whole under God thing, I know that. But why do you have to do it? If you don't want to do it, can't it be a voluntary thing? What's so awful about that? What it says is, okay, this was okay until we became the land of political correctness. Why? And we were about freedom. So if you want to recite the pledge, there should be this pledge. If you don't want to, I think that's cool too. If that's what some of the other kids don't want to do because it's offensive to them, why can't they do that? Why can't you have it that way in the classrooms? When I went to school, we did the Pledge of Allegiance. There was no controversy over it. And I went to a school where you had a lot of Jewish kids in the school, and you had some of Muslim faith. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount, but you had some. I don't remember. It wasn't an issue. Of course, I'm not 10. But now it's amazing how big of a deal this has become, where we can't even acknowledge anything in our backgrounds, the fabric, basically, of our nation. We can't go back to that. We just can't do it. And as somebody who grew up with the flags being a big deal, where we used to go to, like, Betsy Ross's house because it was 5 miles away or however many miles it was away, it's so disgraceful to me. It's so distasteful. If people don't want to be Americans, then get out of America. It's a travesty. I mean, we're losing. This is what we're losing. We're losing the right to have the choice. We're losing that. And that's stupid. Because why can't you have people who don't want to do it and people who do? It's not that difficult. You know, we have choices with our cheeseburgers and our hamburgers. You pull up in a Whataburger, you can get it without cheese or with it, or with the jalapenos or without, or with the sauce or with not, with no sauce. We want things the way we want them, and we get them when it comes to fast food and other pieces of our life. Why shouldn't this kid, good for this kid, He wanted it, not prompted by parents. He wanted it on his own, got the signatures, and then gets jobbed when it comes to the Pledge of Allegiance. James is listening to us in the great state of Kentucky. Hey, James.
Hey, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I was just listening, and I heard you say something about the paddling.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I actually did get paddled one time. I think I was in eighth grade. And the funny thing was, it wasn't really my fault. We were in a computer class, and the kid next to me was joking around, playing on his computer, and he wasn't paying attention, and something went wrong really bad. And so I leaned over to try to help him, and the teacher came by and saw us, and she thought we were both joking around, so we both got sent to the principal. And the best thing about it was, the whole time down the hallway to the principal's office, we are laughing our heads off, and we were getting paddled laughing at each other.
So it didn't sting that much, huh?
No, not really. I think the whole idea of just the computer messing up, and it just, I don't know why, but it just made us laugh to the point where I didn't really care that I was getting paddled.
Did, when you get paddled, is it on the, did you get hit on the rear end, the back, the hands, what?
Yes, the rear end. I mean, the school that I was at, we actually had, there was a table on the other side of the room in the principal's office, and you had to actually walk over there and put your hands on the table and bend forward a little bit.
Oh, that seems so odd now to think of that, doesn't it? To say,
yes,
lean over the table. And here you guys were laughing, so that's the way you took it. So it wasn't like he beat you to death when that happened.
Well, and then on the flip side of that, my wife and I, we have two kids now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little girl, and she was so quiet. You could put toys down in front of her, and she would be totally content the whole time.
there's no paddling there.
No, and now we have a little boy, and he is everywhere. He's already hit his head, he's got a black eye, and my wife and I joke about we can't have him get hurt anymore, otherwise we're going to get child service called on him.
See the child service comment. Everybody always says that. James, thanks for sharing. Hang with us, everyone.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now get the Family Emergency Kit at KeroStove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KeroStove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KeroStove.com. KeroStove, for family emergency solutions.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Whoa, you know, you know. Must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. When it came to winning Blue Ribbon, well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful
their next segment, Weekend Counts. Well, we have one talk show host who announces that he's retiring in the fall. How many years was he in the business? We'll tell you all about it. I'll give you a hint. He's on a fledgling network that he was really holding up for a long time. He wears suspenders. Is that enough of a hint? We've been talking about a couple of different things as usual. We take those shots all over the target here on America Tonight. If you want to join the fray and throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it, go for it. 800-259-5791. I was talking about how ridiculous it is about the Pledge of Allegiance scenario with this kid who in Massachusetts got all these signatures, was hoping that he would be able to do that, did get the flags in the classroom. But no Pledge of Allegiance because the teachers are too worried about it. They don't want to be sued. They don't want to have problems. So they're backing off. Of course they're backing off. Talk about soft. Tomas mentioned the word soft. That's where it's soft. And why is it soft? Because everybody's in fear of getting replaced. Ooh, the budgets, you know, you gotta have those tests. So much so that they cheat on the tests, practically give the kids the answers because the tests have to be good or else they're stuck, the district is stuck if they don't have good test scores. What is going on? What in the world is going on in these classrooms? What's going on in these brick and mortar buildings on the inside? And I really defend teachers, and I know there are some tremendous educators out there, and I feel sorry for them. A lot of them are fleeing the industry. They're getting out of the classrooms because they're sickened by the things that they see, and their hands are tied. So this corporal punishment thing came up because there is an act that defends it, and over 200,000 kids were punished using corporal punishment. And I'm wondering how many people had that when they were in school, and was it really a deterrent? There's the answer. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Hey, Tom.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
Well, my butt's not sore, that's for sure.
That's good. You didn't get paddled.
Hey, let me tell you. When I was in school, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, I'm pushing my seventh decade here. When I did something in school, they called the coach, and he jacked that butt off the floor. You realized there was consequences.
Right.
One of my favorite sayings is, corporal punishment deters capital punishment. So anyway, you know what Ritalin and that stuff does?
I think the Ritalin deadens these little boys that take it. They zombieize them so they don't jump around in their seats when they're in class.
Well, it's quite the contrary. Ritalin is amphetamine. It feeds them up so fast that their brain won't stay on one subject for any length of time so that they pass up their thought of being evil. You know, I had a friend that was, he was raised on Ritalin.
Mm.
He was in the time he was 30. He was in the emergency room 40 times a year. Hair looked like it was burnt. It totally screwed him up, man.
It's bad. I think any of the drugs they give the kids really should be sparingly. I don't understand. Because there's another drug they give them, and it doesn't speed them up. It's some other kind of it's like a deadening drug. I don't know what it's called, but it's because they try to put my nephew on it, and that's what I saw with that. And I was like, why are you even doing this? He's a good student because he kind of is a little bit jiggy in the classroom because you keep him strapped to the seats for so long. I mean, that's part of the problem.
He's a little hyperactive.
Yeah, a little hyperactive, yeah.
Yeah, boo-hoo. Everybody's hyperactive when they're a damn kid.
Exactly. That's my point. And they, you know what happens, Tom, is a lot of times they cut out the extra gym and the things that would get them moving, get the blood flowing, where you would go from one classroom to another. You'd stand up a little bit more. You'd go to recess. When I was in school, and I'm a little younger than you, but when I was in school, we had to do like jumping jacks, and we had like more than recess, we had little periods where you had to get sort of fresh air and stretch and whatnot, and I guess it was pretty good for us because we didn't seem to have these same issues.
I'm not doing life, that's for sure.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, now, I mean, it's just real crazy. Now, I got a granddaughter, it's 5 years old. You know, she walked when she was 9 months, talked when she was a year. She'd carry on a conversation when she was three or four. Now, my daughter sends her in to find her happy spot. We do breathing exercises. We follow the Eastern philosophy. And it's just not necessary. But I know if the incident in school is so critical, then tear that butt up. You know, they burnt down all the woodshed, so you can't take them back there no more. But I don't know. It really just depends on what you did. You know, I mean, they didn't have computers when I was in school. They didn't have trigonometry. They had math 1, 2, and 3, and that was it. But I don't know. Like
I like what you said about the consequence. There is something to that. If you know, it's because you obviously raised a daughter and you have this grandchild too, and if you don't think you have any consequences, you keep pushing and you try to see what you can get away with from the time you're little. So there should be some kind of consequence. You're right on that. And if you have a school where there's no consequences, then the kids just go crazy and do whatever they want, and shame on the school for that.
Oh, that's right. No consequence. You just keep pushing the envelope.
Yep.
And pretty soon it's going to break.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're over 18, shame on you. You know, I mean, the law is going to get into it. But and as far as the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't know why we don't get our stuff done. You know, if you're a Muslim, they get to pray 5 times a day.
Yep.
And they get their special room to do it.
That's right.
But, I think America has opened their doors way too far. They've let I don't mind letting the people in, but like you say, if they're going to come to America, then by God, be an American. Don't come here and try dragging your country's BS with you. You're going to come here and be an American. You're going to go to work. You're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you don't like the word God, well, hey, just don't say it.
Exactly. It's a simple...
It's no big stroke.
Exactly. It's as simple as that, Tom. It's so easy. You and I could save the half the time could solve the problems of the world if they just used common sense, but that's what's lacking. Common sense in so much of what we talk about on America Tonight, so much of what you hear any of the people doing talk shows when Hannity gets into it or any of them. It's about that lack of common sense that we keep seeing in these ridiculous things that happen over and over again. It's the definition of insanity, and yet it keeps getting repeated. It makes no sense to me. If you and I wanted to live in Spain or some other country, we would have to abide by what they do. And we could still have our culture with us, but we wouldn't demand that they don't do what they normally do in a classroom or in a place of work or whatever, because they tell us to take a hike.
That's exactly right. I just heard this commercial on this channel right here. They're advertising cannabis coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that don't mellow you out, I don't know what will.
Cannabis coffee would be mellow, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Tom, did you hear the commercial?
Yeah, I did.
Hell, why don't they just roll up joints and pass them out?
Thanks, Tom.
Yes, ma'am. Have a nice.
You too. You have a good one. Let's go from Tom to George in Kentucky. Hey, George.
Hey, last time I talked to you, it was just after the oil spill, and it's still going on. I just wanted to make that little comment, which is terrible, and God save us on that one. But as far as being paddled, I mean, from, I guess, junior high to high school, they would wait till we got in gym class with our little shorts on, and they had a paddle with holes in it, and I think they would see how hard they could hit us, so... They really give us a good one there.
And see, so probably it was a pretty good deterrent then.
And it was every school, you know, it wasn't just one school. It was every school that I went to. I mean, so it wasn't, you know, like it was a certain school or singled out, you know. I guess it was citywide or whatever, you know. So, and, yeah, you know, boys like to kind of fight and be a little mischief, I guess. So, but they had I guess, knew what class you were in, and they took care of business. I'll just put it that way. But, yes, it did kind of, you know, you had to hold back the tears. Let's put it that way.
Well, see, that was a deterrent then. That,
oh, yeah.
You knew the concept that Tom was talking about, yeah.
I have all the respect in the world, though, you know,
yep.
For my elders and for people, too, you know.
Yeah.
And I do agree 100% on his last comments about, you know, when in America you should be American, you know. As, you know, you commented on also. So,
yeah.
Thank you, and I hope you have a good night.
All right, George, thanks. It's funny, George did call in the beginning of this bill, and here we are, George, at 71 and counting. And we've got high waves, so now there's going to have to be a lot of ground that's going to have to be made up again with the skimmers after Hurricane Alex passes over, even though it's not going right over the Gulf and doesn't, it's not going right over that part of the Gulf and won't interrupt the relief well process. It absolutely will stop the works up. Hang with us.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Of We Can Count. All right, we get it. Seven. So, topping We Can Count. This is a big one. Larry King is stepping down. For 25 years, he held his spot on CNN. Can you imagine rolling through time? At 76, he made a surprise announcement. Maybe. There's been a lot of discussion about it. That he was going to spend more time with his wife and his young boys. And 25 years ago, he had his very first guest. It was then the New York governor, Mario Cuomo, for the first broadcast ever of Larry King Live. And he's talked to everyone and anyone. He's interviewed every U.S. president since Richard Nixon. He's interviewed more than 50,000 people. And when you have a career like that, it's got to be crazy to try to narrow down who were your favorite interviews. So Larry King likes Ryan Seacrest as a possible replacement. Katie Couric's name has been mentioned. And there are a few other people probably in that circle. I don't know if that makes sense for Katie Couric. She goes from the Today Show and that whole bubbly morning deal to the evening news where she gets shellacked. And she's still in the game, though, but she took a lot of hits publicity-wise. And now she would step away from that and go to CNN and do a talk show. And she could have had that opportunity with other places. I'm going to say, I don't think so. I don't see her in that role. Maybe some dark horse will emerge, especially now that officially the cat's out of the bag. But 25 years is a very, very long time. How many people listening have held jobs for 25 years? It's funny, we're talking about corporal punishment in our previous segment, and teachers traditionally, that was, boy, you wouldn't leave teaching. You wanted to be a teacher, you did the work, you got in, and you stayed forever. My grandmother Delaney was a teacher her entire life. I think she started as soon as she was out of school, and she might have been 21, and then up until she was 65, She taught in the elementary schools. This is a sad we can count. Louisiana is reporting at least 162 cases of illness, all linked to the oil spill. It's about that exposure thing. Of the cases, 128 of the workers on oil rigs or in the individual places where they're cleaning up the spill. Most of what's been described as these problems are throat irritation, it's because of the petroleum, shortness of breath, cough, eye irritation, they're nauseous, they have headaches, and the doctors and the clinics and the emergency care locations are reporting that's the numbers so far. And the ages of the people who are coming down with these things that I just described are between 18 and 64. That number could really shoot up because now you have more people that are trying to help clean up, and the worse the spill gets, the more people who want to help and jump into it. And what about the Coast Guard? And you know, you're out there with the skimmers, and I can certainly see it with what they're breathing in, even though they've got suits on and all that other sort of stuff. I think you can understand how that would get through. How about one young sailor finally coming back to land? This is a good number. I saw the pictures of this girl who wanted to sail around the world, and bravo to her. She did sail 12,000 nautical miles, and she became the youngest person to sail around Cape Horn. But Abby Sunderland, who almost died on the seas, let's face it, I'll tell you, the decision as a parent to let your kid do that in the first place, I got to wonder about that. But she wants to get back to sailing. She said she's going to wait a few years before trying to do the world again, but she wants to do it. She wants to finish high school now and get back to a normal life, and said she's happy to be home, but she's disappointed she didn't make it around the world. What happened was it was her quest to do that was cut off when a large wave rolled and crippled her boat in the Southern Ocean near Australia. It was a rogue wave, and she was down below. It broke the ship's masts, and a fishing vessel rescued her. What could happen to a young girl in the open seas? I'm not trying to be paranoid, but I got a few questions about that. And so the rogue wave got her out of there because there was no choice. They had to go and get her. She was isolated for a long time waiting for help, so that crashed those plans. Matt, I got to think, I don't know, you have a 16-year-old daughter, and they seem like they're a together family, but would you want your 16-year-old daughter in a sailboat by herself circling the globe?
No, it seems more of the kind of the balloon boy media attention type of a deal.
They might have been waiting, you know, somewhere, and we didn't know.
I'm not saying that it was a hoax or anything like that, but the same type of deal where, oh, look at my kid, we're going to get all this attention, that type of a deal.
I just don't get that, though. How dangerous to... She's a cute 16-year-old girl, and she might be an incredible sailor. Obviously, she does know what she's doing, but I just have to question that, letting her go and do that by herself with the nutballs out there and the pirates and...
Not something I'd probably be sending my daughter out to do.
No. No way. I would love to have seen my family's face if I said that was what I wanted to do. Hey, do you mind if I take a little break from school, or while we're on the summer hiatus, if I take the sailboat? But we get a sunfish. Take a little sunfish and sail around the world? Yeah, right. You know that whole thing we were talking about, consequence? There would have been a real consequence between my mother and I. Here's another good one for We Can Count. A University of Colorado researcher found, I'm not kidding on this, a 10,000-year-old hunting weapon in a patch of melting ice. It kind of looks like a dart, and a combination of a dart and a small tree branch. But it has personal markings on it from an ancient hunter. They can tell. When it was shot, the 3-foot-long dart had a projectile point on one end and a cup on the other end that would have attached to a hook. The hunter used it, some kind of a throwing tool about 2 feet long for speed. And they found the dart melting out of an ice patch in the Rocky Mountains close to Yellowstone National Park. How cool is that? The guy who founded the researcher is a specialist in a new field. It's ice patch archaeology. I want to be an ice patch archaeologist, but it's a big deal. And they've been finding things in frozen patches. So you have to think of things that melt, or when something melts, what you could come across. And why not? That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Think of what could possibly be discovered in the Glacier National Park or some of the other areas. University of Wyoming, they've talked about what they've been able to find there. The things like wooden tools or weapons and even clothing. Wow. Because it would be preserved, I guess, in the ice. It's kind of a cool profession. All right, how about this? You're looking for a hot stock, and I'm not giving stock advice. I'm just saying the whole idea of the electric car is so big. And Tesla Motors raised $266 million in their IPO. And what does that mean? That's incredible. So their shares late Monday were at $17 each, above the target range of 14 to 16. So when the shares hit the open market, the stock shot higher. And then it fell back below 18 to start the day, but went as high as 25, and it finished the day at 24.64. It was the first IPO by an American automaker since Ford debuted in 1956. How about that? Woo! Tesla. And their cars were so expensive before, that was part of the problem, but now they have a partner, and I think they're gonna start making some real money here. It's not just gonna be the rich people that are gonna be able to get something from Tesla. So that's a pretty big jump on an IPO. Food for thought. While the rest of the market, by the way, crashed. I mean, it was awful. Stocks were slammed, and it has to do with what's going on in Greece and global fears over economic crises, not just in the United States, but elsewhere, and what's happening with the euro. So it was a bad day on the stock market, but a good day for Tesla.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.